Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, brought to you live by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. You have questions about health, fitness, and nutrition, and we have the answers. We are live streaming right now on blogtalkradio.com as well as on our Facebook pages, both private and public. So you can find us by searching for Momentum Fitness and Health on Facebook. So listen live or archived anytime right here, and you can also find helpful videos at findingyourmomentum.com. My name is Jason Venkus, and I am an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, health coach, and fitness nutrition specialist. And today, I would like to talk about healthy swaps during sugar cravings. It was a question that was asked in our private page, so I am answering it for you today. Now, a craving for sugar can mean one of two things, or maybe even both. Either your body is craving energy, such as when you get up in the morning and you haven't had enough sleep, your body does crave sugar because it's a carbohydrate, and it wants to pull carbohydrates very, very quickly. Or your body is craving a form of comfort. So a craving for sugar is natural, since the body craves carbs first for energy, and sugar is a carbohydrate. Now, secondly, our bodies can crave sugar during times of comfort. So there is this deep psychological reason for this. And I'd like to start by breaking down those psychological barriers and then teach you not to just ignore them, but to satisfy them with healthful swaps. Now, I've already mentioned that sometimes we crave sugar as a matter of comfort. We are all well aware of the concept of comfort eating. It's not uncommon for people to eat when they feel sad, angry, hopeless, bored, or lonely. So eating may make you feel better in the short term, but some foods such as chocolate, affect the chemicals in the brain that regulate your mood. So I've talked about before about food and mood and how those work with one another. Now, for that reason, you often feel better right after you've eaten chocolate. However, these feelings usually don't last very long. You may start to feel bad about what you've eaten, then bad about your body image. And then you start to eat again to feel better because you're eating for comfort again. And again, you feel better temporarily. Now, this is known as the emotional eating cycle, and I've mentioned it actually fairly recently in a previous podcast. But why do we crave sweets? That's what we really need to figure out, is why do we crave sweets? Well, one of them can be a lack of water. And that lack of water can send a message to your brain that you're thirsty and on the verge of dehydration. But dehydration can manifest itself as mild hunger. So the first thing to do when you get a craving is drink a full glass of water. Excess water can also cause cravings, however. So you have to be sure that you get water in the right amount, as we actually have just discussed in our private 90-day challenge this week. Take your weight, divide it in half, drop the pounds, but put in ounces instead, and then multiply that by 0.8, and that's how many ounces of water you should drink in a day. Why not 100? Because you get about 20% of your water from the foods that you eat. Sometimes a craving for sugar can be the inside coming out. Oftentimes cravings come from food that we have recently eaten, foods eaten by our ancestors, or foods from our childhood. So a clever way to satisfy these cravings is to eat a healthier version of one of these, one of your ancestral or childhood foods. So look for healthier ways to make certain things. I see this a lot with with the Hispanic community and the Tres Leches cake. There is a way to make it lower sugar, and we'll talk about that as we get towards the end here. The seasons can also affect cravings. Often the body craves foods that balance the elements of the season. So during the winter months especially, many people are going to crave hot and heat-producing foods like meat, oil, and fat. And then also cravings can be associated with the holidays like turkey, eggnog, or sweets as we get towards the holiday season, which is right around the corner for us. Our brain just automatically connects that. It could be a lack of nutrients. And this isn't just for sugar. This is any craving, really. If the body has inadequate nutrients, it's going to produce maybe some odd cravings. And this can kind of explain a little bit pregnancy cravings as well. For example, inadequate mineral levels produce salt cravings, and overall inadequate nutrition produces cravings for non-nutritional forms of energy like caffeine. And that could be a whole other show as far as like cravings and what each craving means. If you want that show, let us know. Hormones. When women experience menstruation, pregnancy, menopause, fluctuating testosterone and estrogen levels may cause unique cravings, and sometimes that can be a craving for sugar. And I do apologize if you're watching us on the live feed on our main page. The connection is kind of weak. We're connected to a different internet source, and it's fading in and out. So I apologize, and we'll fix that next week. Okay, back to your reasons for cravings. De-evolution. When things are going extremely well, we sometimes self-sabotage ourselves. Hey, I've been doing great on this diet. I've been doing great on this nutrition plan, this exercise routine. I'm going to be bad today. So we have this self-sabotage syndrome. So we crave foods that throw us off, thus creating more cravings to balance ourselves. So this often happens from low blood sugar and may result in strong mood swings. But now the number one reason that we have this lack of or this craving for sweets and for sugars and for foods that may not be so good for us, going back to that comfort eating, is a lack of primary food. If you heard me before, you've heard me talk about primary food. And primary food is not the food that we eat, but really the food or the energy that we absorb from feeling fulfilled with things in life, from anything from love and relationships to family, job, economical situations, and our level of physical activity, even our spirituality. So being dissatisfied with a relationship or having an inappropriate exercise routine, either too much, too little, or even the wrong type, being bored, stressed, uninspired by a job, or lacking a spiritual practice may all cause emotional eating. So eating can be used as a substitute for entertainment, or to fill the void of insufficient primary food. So I'd like you to kind of focus on this idea of primary food for a moment. So think back to a time when you were a child and you're playing outside and your mother or father comes out and says, okay, it's time for dinner. What was your response? It was probably, no, I want to keep playing. I'm having a great time. I want to keep playing. It's because you weren't relying on food to keep you fulfilled. You were relying on your friendships and your level of joy and your ability to play. And we kind of lose it as we get older because we get so bogged down with work and everything else that we lose our ability to play. So also think about like when you were a kid or even as an adult that you would have sweets like cake or ice cream and pie. What are other reasons? Birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, recognition for something, all joyous occasions. Or as kids, on the flip side, when we were upset, we are given sugary treats to buck up. So it's only natural that we crave these sweets again when we're upset about either family or job or relationships or bad football team, Chicago Bears. But we are craving a happier time, and that happier time is associated with these types of foods as well. So we regress to those times when food made us feel better or one of those joyous occasions. So how do we stop this? Well, we don't. you need to validate your emotions, validate your feelings instead of stuffing them away. You don't want to stuff down your feelings and not recognize and not accept them, because then they're going to say that your feelings aren't valid, but they absolutely are. And this is true with children as well, especially with children. So this just leads to binging later anyway, if you try to just stuff it down and ignore it. So the following are some things that you can do. You can reduce or eliminate caffeine. So the ups and downs of caffeine do include dehydration, and as we mentioned, dehydration can lead to a feeling of thirst. So also blood sugar swings, and this can cause sugar cravings to be more frequent. Drink more water. Kind of mentioned that already. Sometimes sweet cravings, again, are a sign of dehydration. So before you go for sugar, have a glass of water and wait a few minutes to see what happens. Now, you want to be careful here what you're drinking. Soft drinks are now America's number one source of added sugar, so make sure that you are drinking water for hydration, something without sugar in it. And don't get fooled. Gatorade has almost as much sugar. 32-ounce Gatorade has almost as much sugar as a 12-ounce can of soda. So be extremely careful with what you – just go for the water. Just make it simple on yourself. Well, what about this one? Just go for the water with nothing added to it. Make it easy on yourself. You can eat sweet fruits and vegetables. Fruits that are naturally sweet, healthy, and delicious. Now, the more you eat, the less you're going to crave from added sugar sources. So things like corn, carrots, onions, beets, winter squashes, sweet potatoes, and yams. Another thing you can do is get physically active. Start with simple activities like walking or yoga. Start with 10 minutes a day and then progress. Gradually increase your amount of time. Being active helps balance blood sugar levels, boosts energy, and reduces tension, eliminating the need to self-meditate or medicate, rather, with sugar. Get more sleep. Simple carbohydrates, such as sugar, are the most readily usable forms of energy for an exhausted body and mind. If you are in a chronic state of stress or are sleep deprived, your body is going to crave the quickest form of energy that there is, sugar. Eliminate fat-free or low-fat packaged snack foods. I just saw this on something that was at my parents' house, this little placard or whatever that was talking about healthy foods. And they had a lot of the fat-free, low-fat stuff. Well, there's a problem. When you remove the naturally occurring fat from these products, they taste like cardboard, so they have to add sugar to them. These foods contain high quantities of sugar to compensate for that natural flavor of the fat. So that can send you on a roller coaster ride of sugar highs and sugar lows, because remember, when you have this processed sugar, it's going to bring you up, boost your energy, and then leave you flat and make you want more. It's not like you're satisfying this craving and done with it. No. You have a little bit, and you want more. Remember, if you've heard me talk before, sugar has an effect on the brain similar to heroin and cocaine. So it always pulls you back in. So another couple things you can do here is you can experiment with spices. Coriander, cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, cardamom will naturally sweeten your foods and reduce cravings. Try it. Actually, I've been doing it all this week. I've been doing something from Penzi Spices. It's apple pie spice, and it's like cinnamon and nutmeg and a couple other things, and it's great. It's absolutely great in my coffee. Slow down and find sweetness in non-food waste. That's coming back to that primary food. So by identifying these psychological causes of food cravings or sugar cravings and substituting lifestyle and relationship adjustments accordingly, you can begin to find balance and take charge of your health. When life becomes sweet enough itself, no additives are needed, especially sugar. Now, lastly, what if you just have to have that sugar? What should you do? Use gentle sweets. Avoid the chemicalized artificial sweeteners, because that's a whole other ball of wax as far as like cancer-causing and dangerous for your health and all sorts of issues. In foods with the added processed sugar. So, there is a list. There's a long list of things, but I'm going to go over just a few of them here for a moment and let you know what some of your best natural sweeteners are. Starting with the most popular is agave nectar or agave syrup. This is a natural liquid sweetener that is made from the juice of the agave cactus. Many diabetics use agave nectar as an alternative to refined sugars and artificial sweeteners because it is relatively low effect on blood glucose levels. So it's low in fructose, so it has less of effect on your blood sugar. However, agave is high in it's high in fructose and has been under very much a lot of scrutiny due to possible manufacturing processes, which are similar to that of high fructose corn syrup. So the finished product is lower in fructose. The original product is higher in fructose. So there's a lot of extraction. There's a lot of processing. So, and you have to be careful of too much fructose because it can result in overall weight gain. So it's important to consume agave nectar in reasonable moderation. Next up is barley malt. Now, barley malt is a syrup that is very thick, sticky, and brown, and is about half as sweet as refined white sugar. Now, many consumers prefer this natural sweetener because it moves through the digestive system slower than other refined sugars, therefore giving you more balanced, more stable energy. It contains approximately 65% maltose and 30% complex carbohydrates and actually 3% protein from the barley. Now, barley malt can also come in the form of a powder. Next up is brown rice syrup. Very similar to barley malt, except it's coming from brown rice that has been ground and cooked, converting the starches into maltose. So brown rice syrup tastes moderately sweet butterscotch and can be actually pretty good, especially if you like butterscotch. But brown rice syrup is made of 50% complex carbohydrates, 45% maltose, and 3% glucose. The small amount of glucose is absorbed into the bloodstream immediately, but the complex carbohydrates and maltose are much more slowly absorbed, providing, again, that steady supply of energy. Next is date sugar. Now, date sugar consists of finely ground dehydrated dates, utilizing this fruit's vitamin, mineral, and fiber content. The fiber content is extremely important here. Now, if you like the taste of dates, this is definitely going to appeal to you. Dates are kind of hit or miss with people. I don't know anyone that's like, yeah, they're okay. Most people are like, ooh, dates, or ooh, dates. But date sugar can be used as a direct replacement for sugar, and it comes in a granulated form. However, it can clump and doesn't really melt, so it's not great for baking or good for beverages. You have erythritol. This sugar alcohol is a sweetener available in a powdered form. It is formed from the breaking down, fermenting, and filtering of sugar cane or cornstarch. So it has a very cool taste that works well in coffee and tea. I think it has a little bit of an aftertaste, but it doesn't affect your blood sugar or cause tooth decay. The cons of this sweetener is that it can cause gas, bloating, and diarrhea if it's consumed in excess. So you just kind of have to play with that one. Next up on the list is honey. It depends on where you stand on honey. But one of the oldest natural sweeteners, honey is sweeter than sugar. And depending on the plant source, honey can have a range of flavors from dark and strong flavored to light and mildly flavored. Raw honey contains small amounts of enzymes, minerals, and vitamins. So that's your unpasteurized raw honey. And if you can get it local, it's also said that consuming that local honey can help build an immunity to common allergens in your area. So that honey should be from within like 100 miles, because it introduces your body to the bee pollen and the pollens that are in the air for your area. Next is maple syrup. Honestly, not the most sustainable. Maple syrup is made from boiled down maple tree sap. It is a great source of manganese and zinc, but it does take approximately 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. So that's a lot. And it adds a pleasant flavor to foods and is great for baking. So be sure, however, to buy 100% pure maple syrup and not maple-flavored corn syrup. Look at what you're buying. If you're buying something like Log Cabin or Aunt Jemima's or something like that, read that label, and does it say maple syrup or does it say high fructose corn syrup or corn syrup with quote-unquote natural flavors? Now, grade B is stronger in flavor, and it's said to have more minerals than grade A. Next up is stevia. Everyone knows about stevia by now, thanks to Coca-Cola. I'm going to get to that in a second. But this leafy herb, also known as honey leaf, has been used for centuries by native South Americans. The extract from the stevia is approximately 100 to 300 times sweeter than white table sugar. It can be used in cooking, baking, and as a sugar substitute in most beverages. Now, stevia has been shown to have a positive effect on blood sugar levels by increasing insulin production and decreasing insulin resistance. Now, stevia is available in a powder or liquid form, but be sure to get the green or brown liquids or powders, as the white and clear versions are highly, highly processed. If you were to Google stevia plant, the leaves are green, the stem is green, everything is green on the stevia plant, but when you get the powdered form of it, it is white. It is bleached down and stripped just like white table sugar. Why? For years, for over 30 years, the FDA would not allow stevia to be released as a natural sweetener until Coca-Cola took over production and decided to process the crap out of it. So be sure that you are not getting the white powder. Make sure you're getting the green or the brown liquid, or if you can find green or brown powders. Now, lastly is raw coconut sugar. Coconut sugar, also referred to as palm sugar, or coconut palm sugar, or coconut crystals or nectar, is made from the sap of cut flower buds from the coconut palm. Coconut sugar and coconut nectar are a great source of minerals, vitamin C, B vitamins, and some amino acids when raw, meaning not heated past 112 degrees centigrade. Now, coconut sugar has been used as a traditional sweetener for thousands of years in South and Southeast Asia. So what makes it a better choice is that when raw, it is very, very minimally processed, and it also contains less fructose than many other sweeteners, both processed and natural. Now, on the GI scale, it ranks fifth lowest out of 16 natural sweeteners, with just brown rice syrup, xylitol, and stevia. But remember, the amount of processing in a few of these as well, with the agave and the stevia as well. But now, coconut sugar is only 9% fructose compared to 55% in high fructose corn syrup and 50% in white table sugar. So that coconut sugar is going to really not affect your blood sugar levels as much. Now, you can't go crazy with it, especially if you are diabetic. The recommendation is to stay around 3 tablespoons per day. And that comes up to about 12 to 15 grams of this coconut sugar. So keep that in mind with the coconut sugar. Just because it's lower in fructose doesn't mean you can go crazy with it. Just like, you know, a glass of wine a day might be good for you, but that doesn't mean to go crazy with it. So, lots of information there. Feel free down in the feed down there to ask us any questions that you might have about this or about anything, really, and we will get back to you on that. We can even do a whole show if it's about something else. So if you need more help figuring it out or you need support, find us at www.findingyourmomentum.com or on Facebook at Momentum Fitness and Health. And then join me next week for a special Chicago Marathon edition of why carving up with pasta is a thing of the past. So until next time, I hope that you can find your momentum. Take care.
That's all.